Colin Smith is Professor of Functional Genomics, University of Brighton, where the British Science Festival has just finished. Lots of apps, as you heard, were launched there, including one to help you play music with others from an iPad.
The reason why I got interested in that was because we observed an orchestra in a primary school. And what we noticed was that some of the children were having a fantastic time because they had lots of experience already and training in music. But some were struggling and they wanted to be part of it, but they became visibly upset because they couldn't keep up with the notes because the experience was so new to them. So I wanted to turn to that question and see if there was a way in which we could devise some technology that might help us do that.
Professor Ed Hughes, head of music at Sussex, at the launch of a new way to use tablets instead of clumsy sheets of music to attract young players to chamber groups and orchestras. And the psychologists are there to help. Professor Hughes.
My role in this has been to curate some of the pieces that the children in the classrooms and in the orchestra clubs have wanted to play and to arrange it. And I've also been collaborating with my colleagues, Alice Eldridge, who's here today playing cello, and Chris Kiefer. And Alice and Chris have essentially been the brains behind actually developing the software. So it's been a wonderfully collaborative process. But what I want to stress is that what we're launching, what we're talking about today in the British Science Festival is a new app that's come out of research here at Sussex. We know that there are lots of benefits from taking part in music ensembles, but what we realise is also that these benefits diminish when people are stressed. And so that's the fundamental question. Could technology help beginner players to enjoy and access ensemble music making? And that applies across all kinds of music styles. But our starting point is to just help people to enjoy the experience of performing notated music more effectively. So we also had the great pleasure of working with colleagues from psychology. We're in a campus in which interdisciplinary thinking is very much encouraged. So we worked with colleagues in psychology to plan how to evaluate the research that we did. And that was really helpful because as a result of that, we came through with some data which is still being reviewed and is still in the process of being published. But our initial findings suggest that the app, in its trial form, successfully removed barriers to learning while not de-skilling the children. It helped them, but it didn't mean that they should stop learning to read music. We also found that more children stayed in the test group. There were fewer dropouts. And in fact, actually, the orchestra expanded during the period, perhaps partly because of the novelty of playing with iPads and with technology, but also because I think there was a genuine sense, oh yeah, some of them felt they really could do it better as a result of the technology. And finally, the group overall reported that it could learn more complicated pieces and also play through longer pieces more successfully. So instead of having breaks in the rehearsal process, which are quite disruptive to the more confident players as well as to the less confident players, we found that people could play through more successfully. So we hope that this Syncfonia app that we'll be launching will mean that more school children will be able to take advantage of the benefits associated with playing in a group. So I'd like to hand over now to my colleagues, Alice and Chris. Alice is going to just say a little bit about the design process of this app, and then Chris is going to say a little bit about how it actually works. And then what we'd like to do for you is to play a couple of pieces with this fabulous ensemble of musicians that we have here today, just to show you, first of all, the kinds of repertoire that we've been working with, and also to invite anybody who'd like to come and have a go to join us on the bells and the chimes, because these chimes and bells are colour-coded, and so we've got one tablet out here in which the notes appear in colour, so that when you see a red note, you know that you have to play a C on a bell. So can I ask Alice just to perhaps say a little bit about the design process?
Hello everyone. So my name's Alice Eldridge. I'm a research fellow in the music department and in the Sussex Humanities Lab. I have a very mixed background. I was lucky enough to grow up playing music with a wonderfully eccentric family, playing chamber music from like the age of seven in a sort of goat shed with real enthusiasts and amazing, amazing players. So I had a very early and very full musical experiences of the real true joy of playing music with other people. But I studied psychology and I got a PhD in computer science and particularly around music software. So the development of this is very close to my heart. So when Ed first approached me and said, oh, do you think we could make something with iPad technologies and networking? And I said, yes, sure, I don't know exactly what, but I'm sure that's possible. And it can be very tempting when you've got a background that you feel is relevant to an area to say, oh yeah, I know how we should do this. We need to make the notes like this, and we need to make the interaction like this, and we need to do the networking like this. But then what happens is you impose your beliefs and your preferences and your way of doing things on a group of other people. And that can be successful, but actually often limits the generalizability. So the approach we took instead, which is known as participatory design or co-design, very simply, I suppose, is rather than designing for people, you design with people. So we built a very basic framework where we could load in a score and it could display some notes. And we had an idea that probably the way to do this was, yes, students should still read the music, but a bit like the karaoke bouncing ball, there'd be some kind of highlighting or colour or marking of the score so that they knew where they were. And maybe that was the whole bar, maybe it was the beat, we weren't quite sure. So what we did is through a five-week process, you went along and visited Orchestra Club at 8:30 on a Thursday morning in Lewes each week. And we made a kind of software sketches, if you like. So we made a working prototype and we took it along and we stopped and we said to the conductor, and we said to all the students, okay, what's not working, what is working, what might you like, what don't you want? And we went through this iterative design process. So by the end of that 5 weeks, we had a product that all of the children had participated in and the conductor had input into and expressed their interests and their dislikes. And what we've come up with, we hope, is a piece of software that's then firstly very intuitive to use, because a school teacher at 8:30 in the morning has 20 minutes to conduct an orchestra and then get to maths. There's no time for things not to work. There's no time to read a manual, right? It has to be intuitive. And secondly, hopefully it supports their needs. So the kind of two design holy grails, if you like, it works and supports the user's needs and it's intuitive to use. And we hope that that then promotes a kind of sustainability and a longevity of the software.
Hi, I'm Chris Kiefer. I'm a lecturer in music tech here at Sussex. I'll just give you a quick explanation of how this thing works. So our app is actually two apps. There's one, there's a conductor, has their own app, and then all the performers have a copy of a different app. And the idea is that the conductor gets the full score, and they can control the tempo. And then these other apps are kind of slave apps. So they kind of show the notation, and they synchronize to the conductor automatically. It's designed with the idea that the teacher and the students, the musicians, don't have much to do to set this up. So if I'm a viola player, then I can just tap that and I get the viola part. Being able to do that means that we can have lots of different parts. We can have easy and difficult ones, so you can choose one according to your musical skill level. And it helps kind of oil the wheels of orchestra rehearsals, because you don't have lots of paper flying around. Also, if the conductor rewinds, then everyone else's scores go to the start, so we don't have kind of lots of finding places in the score. We've done this with the Brighton Youth Orchestra, where we've had 25 iPads. I think that's the largest scale we've done that before, so we can do a whole orchestra with this. The conductor taps the tempo, so the conductor can adjust the tempo as they go. And I'll hand over back to Ed.
Picture a chamber group with iPads on stands, and as they play a bar of music, another couple of bars pop up. Dr. Alice Eldridge is here to explain.
First question I want to ask is, as I saw the screen, bars are highlighted as you come to the next bit. Do you just follow it cold, not having seen it before, and play what's there on the screen?
In that case, everyone was sight reading, yes. But aside from myself, the others are professional musicians, so sight reading some sort of grade 3 music wasn't a problem for them.
No, but when kids are doing it, they would see it for the first time and just play what's in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that completely exceeded our expectation. Was in about week 4, Ed brought in Mars, one of the planets, which the conductor even said, oh God, I don't know how to conduct in 5. And we put it in front of them. Maybe some of them had heard it, but most of them hadn't. We gave them a little mnemonic for the dunk, 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 dunk. And then they sight-read, this group of 8-year-olds sight-read through all of Mars. So when we saw one of the benefits of it, which we hadn't necessarily thought about, was, yeah, being able to get this sense of longer-term musical structure and be supported in that without having to keep stopping and going back. So yes, I would say one of the main things it supports is sight-reading. That's one of its main benefits, is early on in learning a piece of music, it keeps all the wheels on, if you like, so people can get through it and come to understand it and also understand their part in relation to the others. It frees up a little bit of cognitive space, if you like.
What do the children themselves say, having experienced that way of doing things?
Well, they all loved it, and we were very aware that there's an element of, let's call it the iPad effect. So if you tell a bunch of 8 and 10-year-olds that we're bringing iPads to orchestra next week, you're going to get more of them turning up. We knew that. But yes, there were very many comments which, again, really exceeded our expectations. So kids who had struggled with learning to read music saying that actually they thought that it had helped them understand notation and the relationship between the notes and where their fingers were and the sounds that were coming out, they felt they'd actually learnt through using the iPads in such a way that going back to the paper scores, they would feel more confident. Some of the kids also commented, which I think was true, that the actual sound of the orchestra improved, which wasn't one of our aims. We were interested in supporting the kids' experience, not in better music making, removing the stress and helping them enjoy being involved more. But one of the byproducts, it seems, of removing that stress is in relaxing. As we all know, when you're nervous, you play a bit squeaky and, you know, you don't make your best sound. In relaxing and being able to open their attention out, they were actually making a much richer, more musical orchestral sound. Yeah. So those are a couple of other sort of side effects of it, which we'd like to follow up and see if that's a more general phenomenon, whether it's just with this.
One of the most important things you said was, in fact, the feeling of playing together, the experience of playing together, something that is too much missed these days.
Yeah, exactly. So that was absolutely, that was the name of our project, I think, was networking technology in the experience of music making. The fundamental driver was us having had that experience as kids. Ed's children are both in this orchestra, and him observing that because children get lost, they get stressed, and then it's just not fun anymore. So that's the main motivation, really, supporting that experience and letting more people access that experience that might not otherwise have the opportunity.
Well, congratulations on the launch. It'd be lovely to see what happens. And of course, you were in Melbourne. What were you doing in Melbourne?
I came over for my postdoc. I was working at Monash University in the computing department in media arts. It was fantastic. I had a lovely time.
Well, let's see what the pickup is in Australia.
Yeah, we'd love to come over and do a tour in Australia for sure.
Dr. Alice Eldridge from the University of Sussex, where the music apps have just been launched, called Syncfonia, and there's a link on the Science Show website. The Science Show on RN, coming from the British Science Festival at the Universities of Sussex and Brighton.